Amen. How many know God covers us? I got a word. I'm just so excited about what God is doing. You know, I shared with you guys about going to the conferences and everything this weekend that I was a part of. And Saturday night, which was last night, Pastor Merv Earhart, who's from Canada, he's just a father in the Lord. He gave us a word of the Lord. And I want to share that with you guys before I go into this word that I've got for you today. He called me out of the congregation there, and he said the Lord has sown you guys as seed. And when I say you guys, I'm talking about us. Okay, He's sown you as seed, and the seed, when it's sown, how many know there's a principle in the Word of God called seed time and harvest? Amen. In other words, seed gets sown, and then it takes a little time. It's got to get into the ground. Things happen in the ground that make it begin to spring forth and sprout. And then it comes to where it begins to bear fruit, and then a harvest. You can gather a harvest from it. And he said, God has sown us in this area as seed. And what he's doing right now, he's building a core. And some of you guys that don't know, some of you that's been here know, one of the things that we're believing God for in this house is a core group. We call them the tribe. Amen. Everybody's got to belong to a tribe. Amen. And so we're believing God right now for 12 families that are tribal families. And what I mean that by that, they have the vision of the house. Amen? They understand covenant. They understand what it means to get in and hear the Word of God and not just keep it inside the house, but take it out there. Amen? It's the tribe. Amen? And every one of us on our journey in life, how many know we're looking for our tribe? It's those people we just fit with. Amen? It's those people that we come in contact with, and it's like, man, I feel like I've known you all my life. You know what I'm saying? You ever meet somebody like that, and it's like, I feel like I know them all my life. And that's the people God's trying to connect you with. It's the tribe. So we're believing God's building a core, and the reason we're believing for 12, because we believe in apostolic government in the house. Here, and when I say that, I'm not talking about a denomination, okay? But I'm talking about the way the apostles did church government with elders and that sort of thing. And so 12 is significant. How many know 12 is the number of perfect government in the Bible? The church was built upon the foundations of the 12 apostles, the scripture says. Amen. And it just speaks of a governmental structure. We've got apostles, amen, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry. They're part of the apostolic governmental structure that God set up for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the church. Come on, somebody, for the work of the ministry. Amen. So God is calling us into a place to where we get under that type of authority and that type of structure. It's not a thing to where there are dictators in your life, but how many know you need mentors in your life? What I mean by that, there's got to be somebody in your life that you're willing to let yourself be transparent to. In other words, that they can speak in your life, Brother David, good, bad, ugly. And you don't get a bullfrog spirit. Well, let me say this. You might get a bullfrog spirit if they speak it to you, but because you know God has set you under that authority, you'll just have to deal with that bullfrog spirit. And I believe that's what a pastor is. If you're looking for a pastor, if you're coming to this place here and you're looking for a pastor, I'm going to be a real pastor. What do you mean by that? I mean, if you want me to be a pastor, I'm going to be a pastor. A pastor's going to speak good, bad, ugly to you. Not because he's trying to keep you under or keep you from doing anything, but because he loves you and because he wants to cover you. How many know we got to be covered? I ain't talking about nothing I ain't got myself. I'm covered. Amen. This house has an eldership. We're covered by our pastors from Good News Worship Center in Lexington, Tennessee. And let me just talk about it a little bit. I can't help but go down this corridor. So y'all just stay with me a little bit, okay? We're going down this corridor here. But how many know so many churches are birthed out of a split? Somebody got mad. Somebody got their feelings hurt. Am I alone? Anybody ever heard those things going on? You've been in church any time at all. You know those things take place. Well, let me tell you something about this church right here. This church didn't start like that. We teach that God has an order. In other words, he has a way of doing things. And this house was birthed out of the order of God. We knew when I went to Good News Worship Center, at that time it was called General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, had one of those, you know, five-word names. And we were in a storefront up there in Lexington. And I'd been down, I was from this area around here, around Hardeman County and everything, growed up all my life. I actually was part of a church, a worship leader and a youth pastor at a church there. But I felt God taking me in a different direction. But I let me testify. I'm being transparent right now, okay? I had what was prophesied over me as a wild-ass spirit. In other words, I went from here to here, and when somebody said something I didn't like, well, I'd go over here. And I jumped from church to church and hopped from here to here. Never submitted to anybody. Why? Because I ain't got to listen to a man. I'm listening to God. And I'm talking about me now, okay? Y'all probably ain't never heard nothing like that before. But I had that type of spirit over me. And God began, he revealed a scripture to me. And we're going to go to it here in a little bit. But it's out of Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And there's another translation that said, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraints. And God spoke to me one day, Brother David, and he said, you're casting off the restraints I'm trying to put in your life. And I was like, was that God? Or was that the devil? Let me put restraints on me. I was a prison guard one time, and we put restraints on inmates. That's handcuffs and, you know, shackles. I'm thinking, restraints? You know, what are you talking about? But how many know? When I was a prison guard, the reason we put shackles and cuffs on inmates when they started acting crazy, it wasn't because we were trying to hurt them or punish them. It was because we were trying to keep them from hurting themselves or hurting somebody else. We were trying to actually protect them. That's why we put those things on them. It was protecting us, amen. But it was also protecting them from, you know, getting into a place to where, you know, some other inmate, you know, they get crazy with them and they get killed. Or I tie my dog up to keep him from running out in the highway. Why? Because I'm mean to him? No, I don't want him to get run over in the highway. Amen. Some of you guys got a little kid and got them kid leashes. Oh, they're so cruel. No, you're walking in the mall, you don't want somebody to grab your kid. You're trying to protect them. It's a restraint. So God says, when we begin to cast off restraints, we don't have any vision. We don't have a real revelation of what he's trying to do. So he causes us to be men and women under authority. I love the centurion soldier that came to Jesus because his soldier was sick and he needed healing. And he said, Jesus, my warrior over here, one of my soldiers, he's sick. He needs healing. Can you heal him? He said, let's go right now. And he said, not so. He said, I'm a man, hear this, under authority. Come on, somebody. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say this one, come, and he comes. I say this one, stay right there, and he stays right there. So you just speak the word, Jesus, and listen to what Jesus said. The Bible says he was perplexed and amazed at the faith that this man had and this understanding of a principle in the kingdom of God about being under authority. You'll never have authority until you learn how to be under authority. And how many know we'll always have somebody over us? It might be, you know, our mom, our dad. It might be a pastor. If we can't submit to spiritual authority in our house, it'd probably be the judge, the police. Come on, somebody. You know, and if that don't work, it'll be the prison guard. Y'all see what I'm saying? You're always going to have somebody over you that you're going to have to be submitted to. And you can learn how to submit to spiritual authority because spiritual authority, come on, somebody, I feel the Holy Ghost, will lead you into life. Amen? Spiritual authority will lead you into life. And that more abundantly. So we got to learn how to come under that. And I believe that's what a pastor is to be to a people, a flock. Amen. He protects them. He's a shepherd over the flock. You know, I did this thing here. The apostle, the thumb, prophet, points. The apostle can touch all the other ministries. Prophet points the way. Okay. The evangelist, the longest stretching finger. Amen. The pastor, ring finger, because he's married to the church. And then the teacher is the pinky because he can get in your ear. Amen? It's a good way to remember that. But the thing I want you to want to bring out is the pastor. And y'all have heard me say this before, but anybody that comes in the door, you know, a pastor, he marries everybody that comes in the door. It's just a pastor's heart. But he has a heart to protect them, just like David was a protector of the sheep. Amen? He protected them from the bear and the lion. Amen? Then it got to a place where it progressed, and then he began to protect the sheep of Israel from a giant. Amen. And then it progressed to where he became a king over a nation. Amen. But God takes us into dimensions. And the way we get into these different dimensions is we understand that God is trying to cover us with his grace, with his mercy. Now let me, all I said all that to get here. Genesis 37:3. I think this is a good word. I know it's a good word. How many would want to be a person that turns the world upside down? Amen? And truly, when we say that, and the Scripture talks about that, and we'll read the Scripture in a minute, when we turn the world upside down, really we're not turning it upside down, we're trying to turn it right side up. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. So when we say turn it upside down, we're talking about turning it back to the way God originally intended for things to flow. Amen? Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. The Amplified says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a distinctive, hear that, long tunic with sleeves. See, Israel loved Joseph more than his other children because he was the son of his old age. What's that mean? Well, you know, he's an old man. And praise God, I had a kid, you know. I love this one. You know, I had it when I was 90 years old. Come on, somebody. I know I'm clowning. But that's not what that's talking about. If you really look at it in context of what's saying, Joseph is what Israel produced after he became mature. Hear that. Joseph is what Israel produced after he became mature. What do you mean? Because, you know, he had other wives and other sons. But Joseph was the only son that he had with Rachel, the true woman of covenant that he was supposed to be in. Amen. These other sons came from concubines and other wives. Amen. They had the right father. They didn't have the right mother. Joseph had the right father and mother. They were a man and woman in true covenant. And it produced something in Joseph's life to where Israel loved him more than his other children. Why? Because he finally got it together. He said, you know what? I finally produced something out of maturity. And not just sleeping around with this and sleeping around with that in places of immaturity. Those things I began to produce. But now produce something out of a place of maturity. And because I produced something out of maturity, I'm going to give him a coat of many colors. And that coat speaks of many dimensions. It's a covering. Amen? Of many dimensions. How many want to be covered in all dimensions of your life? Amen? Well, guess what? We need to birth things out of maturity, out of mature places. Y'all ain't helping me in here. The product, hear this, the product of maturity will always be distinctive. Hear what the Amplified said? He made him a distinctive long tunic with sleeves. Amen? The product of maturity will always be distinctive from those things produced out of immaturity. In other words, you're going to see something that's flowing out of maturity. But you know what? You're also going to see something that's flowing out of immaturity. Amen? Amen? And mature people know how to come under the authority that God puts in our life. Pastor Daryl Barber and Pastor Donna Barber, they used to speak to me things. Brother David, and I would. I'd get the bullfrog spirit. They'd say something to me, and I'd go, I don't like what they said. What's the first thing that happens? Well, they don't know what they're talking about. I can hear God just as good as I can. And the enemy will come in and say, you need to leave. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling the truth. I'm telling the things that I walked through myself. But the thing that kept me was this. What's the word of the Lord? See, God honors faithfulness more than he honors anything else. I don't care how gifted and talented you are. I don't care if you can preach the house down. Amen. If you ain't faithful, you ain't useful in the kingdom. Amen. Why? He said, if you'll be faithful in the little things, I'll make you ruler over many things. But guess what? You're not going to become ruler over many things until you're faithful in a few things. Amen. And some people can't even be faithful coming to the house of God, can't be faithful to reading the word of God, praying, you know, but they want to change the nations. You know, I'm going to go to the nations, Brother David. But you know what? I got trouble praying. How am I going to change the nations? I can't even pray good. Come on, somebody. I got to be faithful in the few things if I'm going to be made ruler over the many things. So you'll always see a distinction between people that are walking in maturity and people who are walking in immaturity. How many know God's called us to grow up? Amen. We're growing up into him. There's stages. There's process. Somebody say process. There's process that we go through to get to the place that God is trying to take us to. Amen. You don't move, Brother Sean, from point A to Z without going through B, C, D, E, F. Come on, somebody. We all are destined to go somewhere. God has a destiny on our life. It was there before we were ever in our mother's womb, the things that God has called us to be. It's that thing that we're going to be someday. It's what we were put in this earth to do. It's our destiny. But how many know our purpose is what we walk through getting us to destiny? Part of the purpose might be like Joseph that we was looking at here. You know, he was the one that was loved by his father, because he was the one that was loved by his father the most. How many know there was people in his life, his kinfolks, his relatives, his brothers, they hated him because he was loved by the father. Joseph had a coat of many colors because he was born out of right relationship. Hear that? Of a father and a mother in covenant. There is a need, if you don't get nothing else, hear this. There's a need for, in the church for a revelation of a heavenly father who is righteous and who is pure. Amen. There's a need for us to understand we've got a heavenly father and he's all righteous and he's all pure. Amen. But we need to understand something else, Sister Tammy, that he's got a wife. There's a mother also called the church who is just as righteous and just as pure. Come on, somebody. Amen, that's in the earth. God loves this woman so much. I mean, he's close to her heart. Come on, brother. He came from his side when he was on the cross. Remember when they pierced him in his side? The church was brought forth. Remember Adam laying in the garden? They pulled a rib out of his side. How many, come on, that was close to his heart. There's a woman in this earth called the church who is just as righteous and just as pure as the Father. And if we're going to produce mature things in the earth, how many know we got to flow from the right father-mother relationship? Amen. Amen. People are not going to, I'm telling you, ministry is birthed through the church. Amen. Babies is birthed through the mama. Come on, somebody. Two men can't birth no baby. That's a different message right there, but y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm saying. There's a woman that's got to birth some things. There's a woman that's got to birth our ministry. How many know in the church, I believe in church. If y'all don't hear nothing else, I believe in church. That's why we got the name of Life Wind Covenant Church. Why? Because I believe in life. I believe in the wind of the Holy Ghost. I believe in covenant, and I believe in church. Amen. Why? Because this is the vehicle which ministries are birthed. Amen. This is where you come into a place, and because of the apostolic government that's set up in the church, they can look at your life and recognize the gifting in your life. Because I mean, no, the gift of God on the inside of you, it will flow naturally out of you. You ain't got to try to self-proclaim yourself. You ain't got to be self-anointed or self-appointed, Sister Tammy. Whatever's inside of you will naturally flow out of you. And because it's naturally flowing out of you, the ministry in the house will recognize and acknowledge that gift. Amen. And before you ever have a title or position, you'll be operating in that gift already. And ministry will recognize it, and then they will set you in. That's what we call, amen, that's what we call apostolic government in this house. Amen. It's a theocracy. Amen. It means God appoints and anoints somebody. He sets them in place. He sets a congregation in place. You just don't pick a church because they got good music, they got a good youth program. Come on, somebody. I'm getting way off track here what I'm trying to preach, but that's okay. There is an intimate covenant between the father and the woman that produces, say this, right things. How many want to produce right things? Amen. I want to produce right things. Covenant relationships will always produce a covering of many dimensions. You know, I can't help but I'm going everywhere. Sorry. I'll preach this later or something. You know, Paul talked about, you've heard it said how a woman ought not cut her hair, okay? And if she cuts her hair, you know, it's she's lost her covering. She's not even able to pray or do anything in the house of God. And some denominations have taken that as a literal thing. How many know that woman is the church? The covering is something that flows, hear this, from the head. Amen? When we cut our covering off that flow, how many know who the head is? His name's Jesus. Come on. When we cut the head, the thing that's flowing from the head that's trying to cover the body, I mean, look around. This is the body of Christ. When we try to cut that off, how many know we can't function in the house of God? We can't function in the things of God. Why? Because that whole scenario about a woman cutting her hair, it's not about your hair that's growing off your head. It's about a covering. Come on, somebody. And when we try to cut our covering off that's flowing from our head, how many know we can't produce mature things? We can't produce right things. Why? Because we ain't covered. We're not covered. Amen. We didn't go in the order that God has for this chaotic world that we're living in. And God's called us to move into or lean into the chaos that's in this world and bring the order of God to it. God has a way of doing things. Covenant relationships, they always going to produce a covering in many dimensions. We'll be covered if we do it the right way. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Genesis 37:4. Let's look at this story of Joseph. I'll try to go fast. I'm glad I got some people in here who know how to shout to preach it down. Woo, hallelujah. Genesis 37:4. But when his, I'm reading out the Amplified too. When his brother saw that their father loved Joseph more than all of his brothers. They hated him and could not say peace and friendly greeting to him or speak peaceably to him. See, these brothers, they were the product of a different mother, concubines. They had the right father, but hear this, they didn't have a love for the right mother. So it produced something in them, even though they had the same father. Hear that. They had inspiration from the father, but because they despised the mother of Joseph, who was the covenant mother, come on, somebody, amen, it caused them to not have peaceable words to speak to him. And when we're not in the right relationship with the right mother, come on, even though we might have inspiration from the father, I got a gift, Brother David, that the father give me. But you know what? I ain't got to go to church to flow in this gift. How many know that's going to cause me to speak unpeaceable words to those that are? Well, they in that church, they think they all high and mighty and all la-di-da-di-da. I'm preaching good. I know I am. Those that have inspiration from the father alone without it being birthed through the mother will not speak the right language. At best, they can only have, hear this, profane things to say. They will begin to defile the temple with words. Hear that. Hear that. How many know who's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. When you look up that word profane, profanity, we think about cussing. Oh, boy, he's cussing like a sailor. That's what we think when we see profanity. But when you look at the word in the scripture, profane, it spoke of the Gentiles who came into the temple. They crossed the threshold of the temple. And because they crossed the threshold of the temple and they were not in covenant with God, hear that, they profaned the temple. They defiled it because these are people that are not part of the house of God, the covenant of God. And if they crossed the threshold, they begin to profane it or defile it. Amen. Speak unpeaceable words to it. And hear this, hear this, hear this. If we're not flowing from the mother, we're not in right covenant relationship, even though we have an inspiration for the father, at best, all we can do is speak profane things. What's that mean? That means my brother who is in covenant and in right relationships, I start crossing his threshold with profanity. I start speaking down on him and looking down on him. Well, you know you ain't got to do that. You can do it this way. You can do it that. I start crossing the threshold. Amen. We dare not cross the threshold of these temples with profane words. Why? Because we'll defile that temple. Amen. Especially if we're flowing out of wrong relationship. We're not in covenant, true relationship with God. Come on, somebody. The more excellent ministry, it's a ministry without profanity. In other words, I'm going to speak. If I'm going to cross your threshold, brother, I'm going to speak words of encouragement. I'm not going to come in there with profanity. And I step into your life and I begin to speak to you. I'm not going to speak down to you like you're lesser than me. But I'm going to look at the king inside of you and speak to that. Amen. Why? Because I want to see that come forth. Why? Because if that comes forth, guess what? It not only helps you, but it's going to help us. Amen. How many know we are body ministry? Together, we're better. Oh, that's good. Now, Joseph, verse 5, had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. And they hated him still the more. And he said to them, listen now and hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. We brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about my sheaf and bowed down. Now, how many know his brothers already hate him, and he's sitting here talking about y'all fixing to bow to me? Now, how many know that ain't too good? maybe not too wise for him to do that, but he did it anyway. His brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Are you going to have us as your subjects and dominate us? And they hated, hear this, and they hated him the more for his dreams and for what he said. Amen. People who are in right relationship, who have the right covering over their life. Amen. God's going to give them dreams. He's going to give them visions. But there are going to be those who are not in that same covenant relationship that are going to hate you for your dreams. Not only your dreams, but for your words. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the word of the Lord over your life. Amen. People will try to shoot. When we first come here and started talking about starting a church, like I said, some 12 or 13 years ago, we knew this was going to happen. 12 or 13 years ago, say seed time harvest. We were sowed a seed. This wild ass was sowed into this church over here so he could get some restraints put on his life. Come on. To come under some authority so some people could speak good, bad, ugly into my life so I wouldn't swell up like a bullfrog every time and, you know, and miss God. Amen. And 12 years ago, we knew this was going to take place. 12, 13 years ago, this was going to happen. And when we came here, you know what we heard about this place, Brother David? Well, there's been other churches that tried to start like that in this area, but they all failed. A word of failure came. A word of failure came, you know. And how many know if you got a dream of God and people start profaning you and defiling you? Yeah, I know people try to start some churches like that before, but you know what? They all failed. Amen. And I got a dream. And you got a dream. How many know when people start speaking negative words towards your dream, it don't feel good. But know this, it's going to come. It's going to come. But because you're in right relationship, how many know it don't matter? Because it's the word of the Lord, amen. And people might hate you for your dreams and for your words, but you know what? It don't matter. Because I love this about Joseph here. Well, let me tell you this. They hated him for his dreams and for his... Those who will not embrace the father and mother will hate anyone who has dreams and words. When people begin to ridicule you for your dreams and the word of the Lord over your life, you need to do this. This is what Joseph did in verse 8. You need to just dream again. Verse 9, but Joseph dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren also, and he said, see here, I've dreamed again. Oh, I love that. And behold, this time not only 11 stars, but also the sun and the moon bowed down and did reverence to me. And he told it to his father as well as his brethren, but his father rebuked him and said, what is the meaning of this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down to you, to the earth, and do homage to you? Joseph's brothers hear this. This is why they were talking about his dreams. This is the reason. And Joseph's brothers envied him and were jealous of him. How many know people that mock your dreams and mock the word of the Lord over your life? It's because they ain't got one themselves. They're actually envious and jealous of you. And sometimes it comes from those that's closest to you that hurt you the most. Amen. Who do you think you are? Amen, because how many know your family? We heard this from Bishop this morning. Your family always want to remind you of your past. Well, you remember what you used to be. You remember what you used to do. Amen. But God's always telling us about our future, Tammy, and what we're going to be and who we're created to be. Amen. And that's what we're moving toward. That's our dream. That's our goal. That's the word of the Lord over our life. Amen. But there'll always be those naysayers that want to shoot you down because of the dream of God in your life. But you got to be like Joseph and just dream again. Just dream again. Just keep on dreaming. See, this time, I believe the first time his dream was a little off. Because how many know it was an earthly dream? It was about labor and work and in a field. And it was all about the earth. And it was all about his natural brothers bowing down to him. How many know it was an earthly dream? It was an immature dream. Come on, how many ever had an immature dream? You dream about stuff, you know, like, yeah, boy, I'm going to be this and that. I'm going to be that and a bag of chips. Come on, somebody. How many know it's not about you? But his second dream was talking about moon, stars, come on, sun, things that's up in a heavenly realm. I mean, no, it was a spiritual dream. And see, the thing that God wants us to get tapped into is the spiritual dream over our lives. Amen? That's the thing that's going to take us to the measure that he has for us. Amen? So, oh, I love that. So he dreamed another dream. His brothers were envious. They were jealous. But his father, hear this, he observed the same. And he pondered it. You know what that means? He knew it was a spiritual dream. He said, there's something to this. Amen. Why? Because he was a real father. He didn't try to shoot him down. Amen. This was a son that was birthed out of a right relationship. Come on, somebody. Because he was birthed out of a covenant relationship, he knew, man, this boy's dreaming right. He's dreaming right. Something's up. I love this. Verse 15. And a certain man found him. This is what I want you to think about. All the things that we go through, the trials, the troubles, the situations, could it be that God is using those things to get us into the place to where he wants to bless us? Amen? We heard Bishop talk about this a little bit this morning at Good News, and I thought about this scripture here, but it says, in a certain man, his father sent him to check on his brothers. They were out tending the flocks, okay? They were out feeding the flocks, pasturing them. And in verse 15, after Joseph had been sent by his father, he comes and it says, a certain man found him, and behold, he had lost his way, talking about Joseph. and he was wandering in the open country. And the man asked him, "What are you trying to find?" And he said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Tell me, I pray you, where they are pasturing our flocks." But the man said, "They were here, but they have gone. I've heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Okay? There's a lot of stuff in this right here. How many know there's patterns in the scripture that God puts in there on purpose for us to understand? And every time we see a pattern, we need to follow that. There's a pattern. Y'all heard me say, Lady J loves this. There's a pattern of threes in the scripture. Amen. All through the scripture, you see threes. The tabernacle of Moses was a three-room tabernacle. The temple of Solomon had three rooms, outer court, inner court, holy place. Okay? There's a walk that we go through progressively in our salvation. We start out as a babe. We come to an adolescent, but God tries to grow us up into a son, a mature person. Amen. We're a child. We're an adolescent. We come into maturity. Amen. Outer court, inner court, holy place. Amen. God wants us to be a people that flow out of the holy place. Amen. Why? That's where the mercy seat is. That's where his presence is. Amen. It's not a place of judgment. God wants us, mature people, flow out of a place from the mercy seat. In other words, they get beyond the veil, Brother David, and they not just going there and looking like, "Oh, I made it to the veil. Hallelujah. Ta-ta-ta. Untie my bow tie. Who stole my Honda?" Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. But how many know God wants us to get beyond that veil? But he don't want us to just sit in there and just look around like, "Oh," and get our goosebump going on and all that sort of thing. He wants us to turn around and see things from his perspective. Sit down on the mercy seat with him and begin to speak to people and say, "Come on, come on into this place." Because how many know our journey takes us in to the holy place to where we become mature, but we just don't stay there. We go outside and we begin to bring people in and bring them through the process. They got to go through the outer court where the altar of sacrifice is there. Come on, how many know who Jesus is? He sacrificed where he was one laid upon the altar of sacrifice. Well, how many know salvation begins at the cross? Come on, somebody. Amen. And then you go into the inner court where the priests are ministering. Amen. And it's an experience with us where we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And how many know it's an adolescent? We're still not mature, Brother David. We get the Holy Ghost. We're like teenagers. We think we know everything because we got the Holy Ghost. I got it all now. Amen. Come on, somebody. How many know it's just an adolescent stage? But God takes us beyond that to where we begin to tabernacle with him. That's the third feast. There's three feasts. Amen. There's Passover. There's Pentecost. There's tabernacles. You see that pattern of threes all through the scripture. Anyway, that's a side note. So there's another pattern that I see in the scripture, and it's right here in verse 15, the very first part. And a certain man found him. You see that a lot in scripture, especially when Jesus was telling parables. Remember when he was saying, and there was a certain man who went and did this, and there was a certain man who did this. How many know that certain man he was talking about was himself? It was himself. The one that sowed the seed, the certain man that sowed the seed. How many know Jesus is the sower? Amen. He's also the seed. He's the word. Amen. How many know it's all about him? Ain't about us. It's all about him. So he went, a certain man found him. How many know a certain man found you one day? And why? Because you had lost your way. You were wandering in the open country. The man asked him, "What you trying to find?" Amen. He said, "I'm trying to find my brothers. I'm trying to find the ones that I'm in tribal relationship with. Come on, I'm trying to find my covenant brothers and sisters. Come on, I'm trying to find my tribe, Brother David. I'm trying to find where I fit and where I connect." How many know this certain man gave him direction and showed him where to go? Amen. And I love that. I love that. Jesus was there on the scene. This is just a picture of Christ that came on the scene. Because you don't have no name. All you know, he was a certain man. I believe that certain man was Christ that was leading Joseph. Even though his brothers hated him, they were getting ready to put him in the pit, sell him into slavery. But how many know his destiny was the palace? But before he could get to the palace, how many know he had to go through the pit? He had to go to the prison. Then he got to the palace. Amen. And every one of us, before we get to our destiny, guess what? We're going to have to go through our pit. We're going to have to go through our prison before we get into our palace. Amen. It's process. It's process. Seed, time, harvest. God's sown us. That's the word Brother Merv gave us. He's sown us as seed. How many know it takes seed a little time before it starts to grow, before we get a harvest from it? But how many know it's worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So they went down. His brothers were down in Dothan. Now listen to this. Here you got shepherds feeding the flock down in Dothan. Dothan means the place of two wells. It speaks of duality. And we got shepherds all across America that preach about duality in their pulpits every Sunday. Well, you know when you mess up, that's that old man Adam. And I'm thinking, he's supposed to be dead. Well, the good stuff you do, well, that's Christ. And they preach duality. In other words, if you do good stuff, Sister Tanya, that's Jesus in you. But if you do bad stuff, that's Adam. And so we got dual personalities. Come on, somebody. How many say, that ain't the case. There ain't but one man living in me, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Why? Because that dirtbag Adam, come on, he's made from the dirt. That dirtbag husband I was married to before, he's dead and gone now. Now I'm married to another. Come on, my real husband is uncoming wedlocked with me. Come on, somebody. His name's Jesus. And there's no longer duality, but so many pulpits are feeding their flocks down in Dothan where there's two wells. They're trying to drink from the well of carnality and the well of spirituality at the same time. How many know that's a mixture? And a mixture always causes confusion. Confusion always brings death, and it brings division. Confusion. My God. And they were down there drinking. It reminds me of another story of a woman that came to a well one day in John chapter 4. How many know Jesus was sitting there? And he said, give me a drink. Here you got Jacob's well. She said, we've always drank from Jacob's well. I mean, it speaks of carnality. It's an earthly well dug by an earthly man, Jacob. His name ain't get changed yet to Israel yet. Jacob speaks of the lower nature. Israel speaks of the higher nature. Come on, somebody, the divine nature, the spiritual nature. And they've been drinking, this woman in the church, been drinking from this lower nature, and all of a sudden she comes to a well one day, and guess what? At the well, there's a whale sitting on that well. And he said, if you knew the water that I had to give you, come on, you'd ask me to drink and you'd never thirst again. Amen. We got to drink from the right well, people. It's flowing from Christ. It's flowing from Christ, not duality. We can't drink from both wells. Amen. A spring, James says it like this, you can't spew out bitter waters and sweet water at the same time. Come on. It just don't happen. Duality does not happen. Amen. We've heard the scripture time and time again about, you know, and we use it as scriptures that talk about when Jesus returns and everything, there are going to be two men in the bed, there are going to be two men in the field or two women in the field, one to be taken, one to be left. We've always used that as an end time rapture teaching and everything. But how many know if you got two men in the bed, Brother David, ain't either one of them going. Come on, that's what it says. You got two men in the bed, one's taken, one left. We always say Jesus came and got one of them and left the other. I'm thinking, it's two men in the bed. Two men in the bed, Jesus ain't getting either one of them. Okay? I'm sorry. How many know that ain't what that's talking about? It's talking about duality. Adam and Christ. Amen. Who you got sleeping in your bed? Come on. Are you flowing from Adam or are you flowing from Christ? See, Adam is supposed to be, he was dealt with on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. The finished work. There were three men on the cross. I'm going to close with this right here because I ain't going to get through all this. There were three men on the cross. Jesus was in the middle. One was on the right, one was on the left. The one on the right, amen, he was the one that repented. He said, Jesus, remember me. That word remember means put back together. In other words, he said, hey, remember me? I believe that man on the right side of the cross was Adam. Amen. Carnal man. Jesus crucified carnal man to the cross on the day of Calvary. Amen. 2,000 years ago. Because he said, hey, remember me? He said, yeah. He said, I remember you. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, today you're going to be back where you was before. What did he say? Paradise. I believe it's a picture of Adam and dealing with carnal man on the cross of Calvary. The other side, come on, somebody. His calling sign, if thou be the Son of God. I believe that was Satan. I believe that was the devil. Amen. If you be the Son of God, take us off this cross and get us out of here and save us. Amen. How many know he dealt with the devil on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago? The devil ain't your problem no more. He was defeated through the finished work. Amen. The Bible says we're to give place to neither one, carnal man or the devil. Amen. We don't give place to him anymore. Why? Because they've been dealt with. 2,000. It's a finished work. When he said it's finished, guess what? You ain't got to deal with it no more. Come on, somebody. But so many times we bring up the memories and we bring up all those things that our family try to bring. Our past comes to haunt us and everything. And we think, oh, I messed up. Remember what I did? And God's like, what you talking about? I thought that was in the sea of forgetfulness. I thought it was tossed as far as the east is from the west. Why are you bringing that up again? Amen. When we begin to bring those things up before the Lord every time. But how many know we're not flowing out of duality anymore? Amen. We don't need to be listening to a message that teaches that we're flowing out of two people. Hey, man, there's just one flowing in me. His name's Jesus. He's the exalted one. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, somebody. So anyway, they begin to talk about how, let's kill him. Let's deal with him. Verse 18 and 19. I'm jumping ahead. I'm going to finish here. Verse 20 says, so come on now, let's kill him and throw his body into some pit. Then we'll say to our father, some wild and ferocious animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Carnality at its best, hear this, carnality at its best is always going to be wild and untamed. It flows from the lower nature, the beast nature. He said, we'll tell him some kind of, King James says, a beast came and ate him. Amen. Carnality always flows from that lower nature. It's the beast nature. It's the nature of Adam. Come on. The man of sin, that's where that flows from. That's where that thinking. It talks about producing things in your own mind and through your own loins. Come on, somebody, just like Abraham and Ishmael. Ishmael was a product of Sarah's mind, her thinking, her carnal thinking, and Abraham's loins. That's all it produced was an Ishmael. And how many know he was wild and untamed and nothing but trouble? Amen. And then they produced through the spiritual seed, through the mind of God, amen, and through the loins of God. Come on, somebody. They produced an Isaac. Amen. It caused them to laugh again. Carnality at its best is always wild and untamed. It flows from the lower nature. Those things we try to produce outside of the relationship with the father and the mother, they will tear down instead of build up. Hear that? They will weaken instead of strengthen. They will divide instead of assemble. If we want to have a covering of many dimensions, hear this, church, we must embrace our covenant with our mother, the church. Come on, we got to get involved in church. This woman, the church, is the one that will nurture us, protect us, and cover us. I love that. This coat of many colors that we receive from the Father will cover us in the house and outside of the house. Hear that? It will cause us to be the ones who have turned the world upside down. Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to close with these scriptures, Lady J. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Without vision or revelation, people perish, which means to go backwards. That's what the word perish means. Or to go, hear this, uncovered. Or I like this, means to be naked. Hear that. If you don't have a vision of God, you're perishing. You're going around thinking you doing this and doing that, Brother David, just like Adam and Eve, amen. They sinned. They said, we'll fix this. They made us some fig leaf aprons. How many know it covered the front side? Well, when they turned around, hello, nakedness. Come on, somebody. And that's what it means to perish. It means to go uncovered. It means to be naked. It means to wither away, to rot, and decay. Oh, hear this. God plants us, church. How many know he's the vineyard dresser. He's the dresser of the vineyard. That's who he is. He's the true gardener. Jesus says, when Mary saw, when she went to the tomb and saw a man and thought he was the gardener, and it was really Jesus, come on, how many know he is the gardener? He's the one that plants us. And so many times God will plant us, Brother David, into some good ground. He's sown us a seed. How many know some of the seed falls on stony ground? Some of it falls in thorny places. Come on, some of it gets withered up by the sun. The enemy comes in and steals it away immediately. Some falls in good ground. Amen. How many know it's all the same seed, though? It's fallen in those places. Maybe some of those places are some things that we need to get rid of so we can make ourselves good ground. Come on, somebody. And God wants to plant us into good ground. Why? So our roots can make a covenant with the soil that he plants us in, that we can get the nutrients, the things that's going to nurture us, the things that's going to cover us, the things that's going to help us produce and begin to bud and bloom, amen, and produce fruit that has seed inside of it. So many people just want the fruit, but they don't want the seed. Bishop said it like this this morning. Everybody wants juicy fruit. Okay, they just want to come here. And, you know, oh, man, they got good praise and worship. I don't want to eat that. Boy, that's some good rebel. And they're eating that, and they spit the seeds out. Come on, somebody. I mean, I know they ain't going to produce nothing. Seed is what produces something. And God wants you to have fruit with seed in it that you can produce something else. But so many times what happens, people get a bullfrog spirit. That preacher said something I didn't like, I didn't agree with, I don't understand that. And instead of falling back on the word of the Lord that they said they had, God brought me here, brother. I'm telling you right now, the word of the Lord is, this is where I'm supposed to be. Amen. Be faithful to that. Come on, somebody. Be faithful to that. But when something goes on that I don't understand, because how many know if God tells you to sit in a church under a pastor somewhere and you believe that's the word of the Lord, how many know it's probably because that man of God, that woman of God has something to speak into your life that you need? Amen. I'm telling the truth. I'm talking from experience. Amen. And then when something comes up that we don't understand, and I've had Pastor Darrell say things, and I thought, what'd he say? That's crazy. I don't understand that. What's up with that? And I start getting nervous and everything, and I thought, oh, boy, he's kind of getting off in left field there a little bit, and I don't know if I need to be agreeing with that, listening to that and everything. You know, maybe I need to be getting out of here. And all of a sudden, I had to catch myself. I had to be like the prodigal son, Brother David. He came to himself when he was down in that pig pen. He said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a son of God. Come on. I'm a son of my father. You know, and he began to realize who his true identity was again. And I've been in those places where Pastor Darrell said things I didn't quite understand, and I felt like I need to leave or make an exodus. Come on, somebody. You know, but the word of the Lord was, this is where I planted you. Come on. And how many know we don't root ourselves up? The vine dresser, the vineyard dresser, he's the one that transplants people. Amen. So many times we rip ourselves up right when we begin to bud and bloom. We rip ourselves up and try to plant somewhere else. And everything that was beginning to grow on us, guess what? Even in the natural, if you take a tree and move it from one place to another, how many know all the leaves will fall off that tree? Everything that was on it will fall off and it has to start all over again. Why? Its roots got to get back down in the soil and get used to that culture shock that it's just been through and everything, so it loses everything that it was starting to produce. And if you do it too many times, eventually that tree will not produce at all. Eventually it will just die. Amen. That's a natural principle. That's a natural law. How many know the same thing happens with you and I when we pluck ourselves up? So what I had to do, I had to sit when things were going where I didn't understand it, and I wish you'd hear this today if you don't hear nothing else. I would begin to say, wait a minute. God, you said. You said, God, that this is where I'm supposed to be planted, God. And God, I know he's saying stuff right now that I think is crazy, but God, you ain't changed your mind. You ain't changed your word, God. So there's obviously something that I need to hear in this, or obviously there's something behind the scenes that I'm not seeing because he said this certain thing. So God, see, what happens, church, is this. When we begin to look at that man or woman behind the pulpit and they say things that we don't understand or agree with, we start losing our faith in them. Amen. But how many know God didn't tell us to put our faith in them? He told us to put our faith in the God of that man, the God of that woman, because God said so. When we begin to doubt, come on, somebody, when we begin to doubt what the man or woman of God is saying and we don't understand it quite clearly, it's not that we're doubting that man or woman of God, but we're doubting God, because the word of the Lord said this is where you're supposed to be. Come on, somebody. I mean, no, we don't need to doubt God. We got to maintain our vision. Without prophetic vision, we become stagnant. We begin to stink. We got to have revelation. Let me read these other scriptures. Same scripture, but in different translations. The English Standard Version says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. So it's the prophetic vision that causes people to embrace the restraints of the Lord. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, without revelation, people run wild. So revelation, hear this, will bring an end to our running wild. Man, when I got a revelation about embracing the restraints that God's putting in my life, and I became part of Good News Worship Center up there in Lexington, it brought an end to my running wild. Amen. That woman can testify about it back there. Look at what the New International Reader's Version says. It says, where there is no message from God, the people don't control themselves. So it's the message of God that helps people gain control of who they are. Listen to this in the Contemporary English Version. Without guidance from God, law and order disappear. So revelation and vision, they guide us into the order of God. The Message Bible says it like this, and I didn't have that one up there, but it says, when people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But if they are attentive to what he reveals, they're a most blessed people. That's good. So Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age. He was birthed out of maturity. God wants us to birth things out of maturity, church. We got to have a revelation of a heavenly father, but we also got to have a revelation of a heavenly mother called the church. That's where things are birthed. If we want to be birthed into the ministry that God has for us, come on, we got to get into church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, much more as you see the day approaching, as some have kind of discontinued that, is what the scripture says. I know I'm paraphrasing that and everything. But how many know we're lively stones that's gathered together in a gathering place here this afternoon? But how many know just because we're a bunch of stones that's been gathered together, that don't make it a house? How many know they got to be assembled together? Every place, every person be put in their place, just like a pile of wood don't make it a house. It has to be assembled. It has to be a framework. It has to be a foundation laid and everything. God's laying a foundation in this place here today. I thank God. I'm telling you, this is a high place in this region. I believe it with all my heart and all my spirit that God is wanting to do something in this house that he ain't never done before. I'm not negating any other houses around here and what other people are doing. There's great men and women of God all around this region here, but I know what God's called us to do. God's called us to invoke the kingdom, amen, a present reality of the kingdom of God. Come on, he told us to pray it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God is wanting heaven to touch the earth in a real, practical, now way. And God is calling us as a people together, to come together, a tribe of people, amen, that have a heart and a vision that says, you know what, we're going to visually impact this community. Come on, somebody, I want to see the government change. I want to see industry coming to this place. Come on, I told you guys, and Lady J says it every time she makes an announcement, we are a multicultural church here in Selmer, Tennessee. We are a gathering place of nations. There's nations of families right now represented here, many nations in here. But I'm telling you, we're going to touch other nations of other countries. Amen. They're going to come to this place because of what God is doing. And y'all remember when Bishop Muhammad came from Trinidad? He came and preached. He preached at Pastor Darrell's church, and he came here for our anniversary service. And God, and I've been preaching this and telling, you know, this is the word of the Lord. We're going to touch other nations. Other nations are going to come here because of what God's doing in this place and be blessed. And he was from Trinidad. And he stood me and Lady J up right there where Tammy's at right there. And he looked at us and he said, you guys are going to touch other nations from this place. And he said, guess what? I'm from another nation. I'm from Trinidad. And I'm being blessed right now by what God's doing in this place. I mean, it was verbatim. Went home. Amen. After that, I'm sitting there getting my sermon ready for Sunday afternoon. I get a phone call on my cell phone. And the guy says something in some real broken English. You know, I am so-and-so. I am from Kenya, South Africa. And I said, okay. How'd you get my number? You know, that's what I'm thinking. How did somebody from Africa call me? And he said, I want you to know your words minister to me, is what he said. And he had found our website on the internet and saw some of our sermon notes on there and everything. And he wanted to call because my cell phone number is on there to call. You know, people want to contact the church. And he called all the way from another nation. Hey, and said the words that's going on right here in this town, Selma, Tennessee, come on, is touching other people in other nations because of what God. Why? Because there's an open heaven here and God's got his finger on this place. Amen. I want to get in the flow. How many want to get in the flow? Come on, lift your hands in here.